Well, good morning, everyone. It is really, really, really exciting for me to be here with you this morning. Give me a second. So last night, I flew in from Denver, which I thought was going to be really an easy thing because it's not that long a flight. But there's been a lot of delays in travel lately. Mine happened to be because of a big thunderstorm that was rolling through. And so my 8:20 flight left at midnight. So I got in Santa Barbara about 2 o'clock and back to Ojai, where my mom is, about 3 o'clock. So if I start slurring or any of those things, that's what's going on. And I really am excited to be with you. Greetings from the rest of my family. They stayed back. Part of why I'm here, is about this time last year, my stepdad passed away. And so I wanted to spend this week with my mom running up to the one-year anniversary just to be with her. But you really are just such an important, just a really important part of my life. I don't know what other people say when they come. Even in driving up, Ventura is a touchstone for my life. This is not where I grew up. I actually didn't move to Ojai until my senior year of high school, but right after I became a Christian, got connected, and many of you, Nancy, I'm going to cry. a lot of you have been just really significant in my life. Sorry, this is kind of funny. I'm just looking at the people. I'm like, oh, that's going to make me cry too. One of the things to know about me, I'm pretty passionate person. That's kind of the way that we roll, and so it really is fun to be here and to think back to a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away where I came in as a brand new believer, and some of you were the people that discipled me and helped me grow in Christ, and then. My wife and I have been gone for 25 years. We got married in September. It'll be our 25th anniversary, which is just mind-boggling. We restarted counseling about Wednesday so that we can kind of get a jump start on the next 25 years. But with that, you have literally watched me grow up, and you have sent us out. And so, I have some pictures. So let me give a family update. Louise and I, that's our family plus Jeremy. That was at a wedding a little while ago. And then I didn't really know that awkward family photos are kind of a thing right now. And so photo sessions, there are some way more awkward ones than that, but those are the ones that my kids said I could show. And then about a month ago, our oldest got married. And so, talking about changes, right? Again, things that'll make you cry, right? Actually, the father of the bride speech was probably harder. So you can go ahead and go to the next one. So in 2000, Louise and I left to move overseas, and we work with an organization called Cadence International. And I know many of you are familiar with Cadence, but I know that there's some of you that aren't because we're not a well-known organization. And Cadence International, military people are our people. That is our people group. That is who we serve. We exist to share the gospel in our lives with military. And so, our theme verse is out of 1 Thessalonians 2:8. We love you so much that we were delighted to share not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us. And really, it's that piece of who you are and of sharing the gospel, but not just speaking the gospel, but us living the gospel. And I know that this is a church that resonates with, that you believe that. And you have been a part of sending us out to do that. And so we started in 2000. We went initially to do student ministry, and we were in Wiesbaden, Germany. We've been all over the world. Someone was like, "Where are you?" And I'm like, "Exactly, that is my life." But we work with military people, right? So that's kind of we kind of get that. That is kind of part of our thing. And so with that, my wife and I currently, so if you're asking, what do you do right now? We started with student ministry, and then we did adult and families in our house. We did what was called a hospitality house, which really you can kind of think like kind of house church is maybe a good kind of picture, because we invite people into our home and we share a meal together. We open the scriptures. We spend time worshiping together, praying together, all those things, and then a lot of discipleship. And that really is like that's my jam. That's what I live for. So that's what we've been doing. And then 2 years ago, or a little before that, they asked us, "Hey, would you consider being over a bunch of those house directors?" And we said, "All right, we'll do that." And so we were going to be in the Westpac, and that was like 9 different missionary units that we were overseeing. And that felt pretty manageable. I was like, man, that's kind of like a 2-3-quarter time job. Like, I feel like I got some margin. And then they said, oh, hey, we need you to take 5 more missionary couples. So now we functionally have everything west of the Mississippi. So any ministry that Cadence has that's west of the Mississippi, so that means we have soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Space Force. Yeah, that's right. I know you're jealous. So that's who we work with. And honestly, I don't mean to disappoint. That's really as much as I'm going to say about what we do right now. If you want to know more, come to the lunch. I'd love to tell you. I do want to, kind of how we go. There's a passage I really am compelled that I want us to talk about. So we're going to do that. But if you want more information about what we do, so I have 2 plugs. One is if you prayer cards or information about us, I've got that here. Second thing is I'm about to have a men's retreat with a bunch of those guys that I mentioned. And I just wrote out a bunch of their names and ministries on some wristbands. And if you want one to pray for, I would love for you to pray for us for the next 2 weeks. Our retreat is the 3rd through the 8th second through 7th, somewhere in there, of August. And so I have those. If you would like one of those at the end, you can come get one. So, So I was like, I have the opportunity to open scriptures. I want to open the scriptures. I'd rather do that than tell you what we do. But some of it is I kind of want to go through and just maybe show you a little bit of what we do. And so we, for the last number of years, really the whole time, I want to be rooted in, the things you said, community, yes, totally believe in that. Bible, yes, totally believe in that. Church, okay, we've been a parachurch, I believe in the church, don't get me wrong, we're part of a church. Anyway, so we're gonna be in the book of Colossians. So can I read this? But before I do that, let me pray, and so pray with me. Jesus, would you meet us this morning? And God, would you, as we look at your word, may we be transformed. God, that we read scripture, scripture reads us. You point out the things in our lives that need to grow. And this morning, as we talk and as we work together, God, I just pray that you would remind us of even the things that we sang, God, that you, our life is hidden in you. And so, God, we celebrate that. And this morning, would you drive some of the realities that are at work in us? God, would you just help us to be aware of those things? And so, speak to us through your word. In your son's name, amen. So we're in Colossians. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. And so with that, one of the things that we love to do is help young men and women as they join the military. It's a greenhouse for bad decisions. Let's just be honest. You're 18 to 20-ish. Most of them, you have more money you've ever had. You're away from home. You have no community. Yeah, go make bad decisions. Have fun. And people do. And so when we have folks that come, one of the things we really want to do is help them to learn how to study scripture. So I'm excited that you guys are doing that. I think that's a great thing. We try to do that, and we generally do it kind of in a group inductive Bible study. That's kind of what we do. That's kind of our way. So we're going to kind of do a little bit of that this morning, if that's all right. Might be a little different. I'm more of a teacher than a preacher, let's just be honest. That's kind of more my jam. So would you stand with me as we honor God's word in the reading of it together? Also, I need my glasses because I'm now 51. That's right. All right. I'm reading out of out of the ESV. So I'm also using a scripture journal. These are so much fun if you aren't familiar with them, like that I get to write all my notes on the side. Anyway, sorry. Here we go. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouths. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat. All right, so like I said, we know that the nature of the military in working with them is transition. And because it's transition, you know, the moment you meet someone, there's like a little clock that goes on in my head that just starts counting down from whatever they say is their deroast date or whatever, the date that they're gonna, their next move. And so with that, you know, again, we wanna study scripture. We wanna help them to learn how to study scripture. And we wanna go through different passages. And so as we do that, you know, that's the way we teach on Friday nights. We pick a book, we work through the book, we generally go, you know, New Testament, maybe a gospel, maybe an epistle, and then we really want to get into some angry minor prophets because most people have never studied those. And when you're trying to teach someone how to study, going in a style that they're not familiar with, you get to really talk about those things. And Louise really enjoys that. So, and so with that, you know, we want to teach them first how to study, and then two, we try to do kind of a group style because we want them to get used to, oh, wait, I can start to lead this discussion. And we know there's a day that they're gonna leave. Like, that's a given. And so with that, we want to launch them well, knowing how to study the word and how to lead other people in a Bible study. Like, just feel like that's pretty, again, discipleship, that's strategic. And so with that, you know, we kind of begin by asking some questions. And we go through these questions they're often our discussion questions. We tweak them, obviously, at different times to be more contextual, but that's the basis of what we're going to ask. And then the second thing we're going to do, you can go to the next one, is some things to look for. And so we say, hey, are there repeated words? Are there phrases that you see again? Are there if-then statements? Are there lists? Are there commands? What's the genre? Like, what is it, an epistle? Is it a prophecy? You know, what kind of thing? Because that determines how we look at things. And so there's pretty much all of these as we're going to look in Colossians. So the letter to the Colossians, I don't know if you're familiar with the Bible Project. Their summary videos are pretty, like, in 7-8 minutes, you can have a full, like, a way better understanding of what some of the things are in there. I don't always agree with all of it. Some of his points I don't necessarily always agree with, but there's a great starting spot. And so we always start by saying, okay, where's this coming from? Like, what's going on? And one of the questions that we're going to ask in that is, you know, contextually, you know, who is the writer and who's the audience? And so in this, we know that the writer is Paul. He's writing to a church that is filled mostly with Gentile believers, that they're combating some false teaching. And so in the midst of that, he is addressing some things. And he's just going to continue to do that. And there's some some hard things going on. And Colossae, if you look, it's, you know, we see Ephesus like almost right in the middle. And then we see Colossae. And then we see the east. It is like it's on the freeway. It's Ventura. People are coming through it. You know, they're going. They're coming through. And so because of that, there's all these ideas and cultures and customs that are mingling. It also used to be pretty awesome, and now it's a shadow of itself. And so in it, Paul has actually never been to this church. He didn't plant it. It's one of the few epistles we see where he's writing to people he doesn't really know, but they're important to him. And so so we should, again, kind of default, because it's a letter and it's being read to this church, we probably ought to default to the all y'all form. Like he's writing us. We get pretty good at going, okay, what's the Lord saying to me this morning? You know, sometimes it's more of what's the Lord saying to we this morning and me in relation. And this is going to be one of those. And then I already said Paul's never met them. So those are some things that we've got. So as we go, so here's where I need help. I need someone who's going to Wagon Train. If you're going to Wagon Train in a couple weeks, are you willing to be my guy? I got something I need. Anyone? You want to do this? Okay, so I'm going to let you guys do this. You're going to need to read. Do you have a Bible around you? Can you find a Bible? I need you to read in chapter 2. Paul writes, in Christ, in him, or, you know, some form of through Christ, in Christ, with Christ. I want you to read chapter 2, and you have freedom to interrupt. You can just start flagging me down when you get the final number, but I need to know how many times he says that. Can you do that in chapter 2? You clear? Okay. Keep going. Okay. So that's we got. You're going to tell me, or somebody from that group up there is going to tell me when you get how many times Paul talks about it. Okay. So keep going. So let's read the first couple verses. This feels like my glasses, but there they are. I was telling him, this microphone feels like my glasses are on backwards on the back of my head, because I used to think that was cool back, you know, 20 years ago. All right, so let's read verses 1 through 4, and let's talk about it. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Any things that stand out as I read that? Any things that this is the only passage you get the freebie on. All the rest of them, you're going to have to use your own Bible, by the way. Yeah, above and below. Yeah, totally. I learned a new term. You know, we have Bible study at our house right now. I've got a bunch of seminary students that are in my house, so they bust out things that are like... I get really nerdy really quick. It's pretty fun. A phrase I'd never heard before called merism, and that's where there's opposites to imply both those places and everything in between. So merism. But above and below, that would be a great one. And so he's talking. So what does he tell us to do about this above and below? Focus on above, right? To focus our hearts on the things that are above. He starts out with an if-then statement also. He says, we don't see the then, but it's implied, if you have been raised with Christ. And so he is talking to believers. He's talking to us. He's like, hey, if you have been raised with Christ, then I want you to do something. And I want you to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I mean, that song that we sang this morning is this passage, that you would set your mind on the things that are above. I mean, that is, like, when you hear that phrase, set your mind, what is it, like, what's it do to you? What were you saying? Yeah, consumes you. Anyone else? Is that one time? Nah, it's an ongoing thing. And so with that, There is, sorry, my iPad keeps turning off and then I lose my place and it's not my favorite. So I'm also going to go to this. Okay, so with that, he's saying, yeah, so set your minds on these things. For you've died and your life is now hidden with Christ. Like it's not just you. I mean, you are wrapped in Jesus, and that is where that's where we need to be focused. So here's my big thought one. We need to set our minds on what matters. Because when we set our minds on what matters, like it roots us. It really helps us. You know, I mentioned being, you know, this is our 25th anniversary coming up September. And I have learned one really, really interesting thing, and that is when my eyes are on the things around me, or more specifically me, my marriage is awful. Because my eyes are not on my wife, and because of that, she feels the gap in that, right? She goes, you're choosing you. And I'm really good at choosing me. So in that, when my eyes are fixed on my wife, it's very easy for me to live for her. It's much easier for me to serve her and show her love through that than when my eyes are fixed on the wrong things. It is equally true. My son plays baseball. That's why I took a really late flight, because I wanted to watch his baseball game, because it's almost playoff season and that kind of thing. And you know, when he's at the plate, I can tell what his mind is fixed on, because he's gotten hit by a few pitches so far this year. And when the pitch comes and he does this, I promise you his eyes are fixed on not getting hit. But that is awful when you're trying to hit a baseball. Like those two things just don't go together. And so when our hearts and our minds are fixed on the wrong thing, it's kind of a mess. So, all right. So we mentioned set your minds, that it's a continual action. There's a few more ongoing action thoughts in this section. So seek, verse 1. Set your minds, verse 2. Put to death, verse 5. Put them all away, verse 8. Put off, verse 9. Put on, verse 10. Renewed, verse 10. Put on, verse 12. Anytime you see a word or a phrase repeated a number of times, it's probably important as you're studying scripture. You might want to pay attention to why that's there. Bearing with verse 13, forgiving verse 13, forgive verse 14, put on verse 14, let the peace of Christ rule verse 15, be thankful verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell richly verse 16. Talk to me about, as you read this, things that it stirs. Okay, if you couldn't hear, to emulate the way, the life, and the truth of Jesus. Okay, what else? Yeah.
The word of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I'm really excited to get to that part, because I had a realization 2 days ago as I was sitting in my chair just pondering some things. I'm very excited. So if I don't, you can give me one of those. By the way, since we're doing this, how many of those in Christ, through Christ, with Christ, anyone? 16 or 17? Yeah, remember when we said if he says it more than once, it's probably important? So in chapters 1 and 2, that he says in Christ, through Christ, or with Christ, that it is because of Christ, 16 different times. We ought to pay attention to that. And we get a couple more here. With Christ. Anything else? Action. Yeah. 100%. There is a lot of action. And again, is it accidental or is it deliberate? It is really, really deliberate. Joe Kinger, the next one. So growth requires a lot of ongoing heart work. And I'm going to say heart work, and we might think that it's intellectual, but it really is us addressing our heart and us really thinking about, okay, for me to grow in Christ, growth in Christ, sanctification, I mean, that's the big churchy word, but becoming more conformed to the image of Christ, for us to do that, we need to to do ongoing work in this and look at that and focus on it. And so the critical question really is, what am I doing the work to put off and to put on? Am I actively putting off things that are going to keep me from Christ? And am I going to put on what's going to help me grow in Christ? This was highlighted last night as I was sitting in the airport. And I was like, okay, you know, I got a couple hours. I mean, they just delayed the plane by 3 hours. I got some time. And I was like, you know what? It's been a long day. I deserve a movie. And all of a sudden, I'm like 10 minutes in, I'm like, Nate, what are you feeling? Like, what are you putting on? And I'm like, I hate it when, you know, you're like, oh, here we go. Conviction. Thanks, Holy Spirit. You know, but it is. It's what we pay attention to drives how we live. It drives who we are. It drives what we do. And so the question is, what am I putting off and what am I putting on? And I think it doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian, you know, for 50 years. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 5 days. It's going to look a little different because there's different things that the Spirit has been working with you on over the years. But we all have those things that God is moving in us. Okay, so put to death. I'm going to read that kind of that second paragraph. Put to death. Glasses. They're still over here. Sorry, I know. So you're going to be thinking of intentional endings here. So it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two, you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk, which is from your mouths. Do not lie to each other, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of after the image of its creator. Here, there's neither Jew nor Greek nor Jew, Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. So he says, hey, here's some intentional endings, some things that I am telling you to deal with. Can someone read the first phrase in that first verse? What does it say? Put to death. So the ones on the left, it says to put to death. The ones on the right, it actually says put away. And it's really interesting because what do you see as you look at the left side and you look at the right side? Talk to me about the differences between those two, the verses or the words on the left side and the words on the right side. Okay. Yeah, the words on the left side are more internal. Anyone else? What's that? Yeah. I mean, and I think all of them involve us as we relate to others, for sure. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, huh? I mean, really, the left side, I mean, again, those are the ones we're commanded to put to death. It's not like, oh, maybe, you know, if you're feeling like it, maybe deal with them. No, put them to death. And they are internal, and they are kind of their heart attitudes. And really, when our heart is out of alignment, I mean, the right side too, but the left side, we it feeds something in us. We feel like we deserve some things in that. And we start to chase, again, where our mind is in this. This is like, hey, this is your nature. It's easy. This is just going to come out of you. No problem. It's just, you know, but it's like, no. So what I'm saying isn't just don't do it. I'm saying put that to death. Do not feed that. Do not play with that. Do not give it head space and heart space and any of those other spaces, because it's idolatry and it's going to lead you astray. And furthermore, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And then he's like, hey, but lest you get all, hey, I'm awesome, you also did those things. That's where you lived before you put them to death. And again, this is an all y'all. This is us. He's saying to us as the church, hey, be really careful. Do not give quarter for any of these things. And then also, put off in the way that we deal with one another, put away these things. You know, if we were to deal with one another and put away anger and put away wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk and we didn't lie to each other, I mean, how might that change the church? Let's just think about that again, that all y'all. This is not, you know, you as you're dealing. This is, hey, believers, as we think about these things, how do we live in this? And it's like, no, put it away. Get rid of it. Don't lie to each other. Put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Again, even in that, he kind of blips back. He you know, it's like one of the cool things about scoring in movies and other things is there's, you know, riffs that all of a sudden just take you immediately back to this idea. It's a riff. He just kind of sends us immediately back to this. So be really careful what you think about. And so then he talks about here, there's this diversity of people that are part of the same kingdom, kind of what you were talking about, you know, for us as believers. There's these differences, whether Jew or Greek or whether barbarian or Scythian, although Scythians really were considered extra barbarian. Circumcised, uncircumcised, but Christ is all and in all. So again, let's hold fast to what matters, us as the body of Christ. We've got Jesus that is our anchor point that's pulling us all together. All right. So, I already threw out the Marianism. Greek Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised. Okay. Let's go back to or do the next one. So things that we're invited to put on in 12 to 15. So I'm going to read it. Joe, don't put it up yet. Hold off. I'm going to read it. I want you to think about, you know, what are we invited to? So put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, glasses. Everything got blurry there. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Okay, things we're invited to put on. Clothes. With clothed in love. Yeah, go for it.
I love the idea of using the word clothes. It's like, it's the idea that after we're washed, after we shower, after
yeah.
we bathe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we've just spent a lot of time putting off, and so what we put on really matters. And yeah, what else? Anyone? Kindness, yeah, absolutely. Okay. What's that? Compassion, humility. I mean, again, I'm going to ask the question, what would a church that these things were your distinctives, what is that going to look like? I mean, I think it's going to look a lot different than the way that a lot of people, because church is increasingly unpopular, and as we see generations, like, you know, people rushing from the church, my guess is if we were these things, that would trickle, like that would move from a flood to a trickle. We have these things. So the new self, compassionate heart, you can read. All of these things, the invitation is, hey, let's put these things on. Let's let these things mark us, define us, that this is as the body of Christ. Because, man, it is hard to live. I mean, I love the idea of community, and I really believe in it. But community takes some commitment. It takes some effort. When we disagree, I recently listened to a great podcast that was talking about how do we deal with each other in the church when we disagree? Because, man, we are not so good at that. There's a whole lot of denominations that speak to the fact that we're awful at this. And there are so many calls for us to guard doctrine. But there are a whole lot of calls to guard unity to guard the way that we deal with each other in discourse. And in the midst of a church and a congregation of people that I love, man, I just really want to say, these things matter as we deal with one another. They matter even more when we're disagreeing about some of the things that are maybe going on. And as a church, I think it really matters that we really intentionally put these things on. And some of it, I love it. I totally reached for it. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together. Like, this is the thing, man, put that on, because it's what's going to bind us in the midst of things in perfect harmony. And then, again, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Man, there's some things. So in it, the next thing I think, Joe, can you go? This word peace, where it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, it's erene, and it means the completeness of not lacking in anything. So in the midst, there can be trouble and chaos around, but it's letting the fullness of the peace of Christ dwell in you. And I mean, just to continue to pursue that fullness of, okay, what does it look like for us to keep choosing to live in this? So, big thought three is the gospel is the thing that gives us the power to do the hard work required. So in this, again, the choosing or the thinking on the dwelling, that's where we go back and we look at, okay, what has Christ said? What has Christ done? Let me live in the fullness of what God has done through Christ in my life. Let me live in that and let that be the thing that drives my thinking. Because I'll be honest, I was thinking about actually just even as I was driving, I remember, you know, like being a young Christian and being like, you know, give me 3-4 weeks and, you know, we'll deal with some of these heart issues. We're, you know, we'll get rid of all the bad stuff and we'll, you know, do all this good stuff. Man, you know, it's been a lot of years. It's been, you know, 30-something years, almost 40 years of following Jesus. Man, it is so daily. Like, isn't it so daily to go, no, Jesus, I am brought back to the place again where I realize how much I need you. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every day I need you, because I recognize that the subtlety and the nuance of my sin is really great. Man, it's easy. And so in the midst of that, there is the awareness of, I don't know if you're familiar with Matt Chandler. He calls it grace-driven effort. I really like that phrase. It is me fixing my mind on something that is really me reminding myself that I am in need of walking in the truth of that and the grace of that. Me being aware of just how, again, just how broken I am. in our house, there's another book that talks about preaching the gospel to ourselves. And that's really what this is. It is preaching the gospel to ourselves and going, I am out of alignment with who Christ is right here. So that means I either need to confess or I need to get something right. And so in the midst of that, and the gospel is what gives us the power to do that hard work that we've got to do. We can't do it in ourselves. Like, I mean, again, I really tried to muscle through. I mean, yeah, fruit of the Spirit, love. No. So we go on and it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. One, does that sound familiar to anyone? Okay, you're nodding. Do you remember, anybody remember where we might have heard something really similar to this somewhere else? Ephesians 5. It's almost identical, except for one thing. in this, we say it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, which then is going to lead to you singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In Ephesians 5, there's a difference. Anybody know what the difference is? What are we relying on instead? Let the Spirit of God. I don't know who that was, but yeah, there you go. Spirit of God. And so what's real interesting is that whether it's the Word or the Spirit, they're going to lead us to the same spot. Because they're in agreement. You know, the Father points to the Son points to the Spirit. You know, they point to each other, and the Word speaks to all that. And in the middle of it, it's saying, yeah, so let that dwell in you richly. I was super excited when I realized, wow, this is that same idea, but it's in a different place, and it's almost identical. It's just, it looks a little bit different in where we start, whether we start with the Word or whether it's the Spirit. But again, it's letting both of those things dwell in us richly that moves us so that we would teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, that we'd speak psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in our hearts to God. And then it's going to flow to this. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I'll be honest, some of you are familiar with the Paddies, Dick and Margaret Paddy. They were some of the founders of Cadence International. They used to be some of the missionaries that were supported by BFC back when they founded Cadence when they lived here in Oxnard. But one of the things that I just am impressed by them as a whole family, every time I hang out with them, do you know what I walk away with? More scripture. I walk away with a better understanding both of scripture and an encouragement to learn more scripture, because the word of Christ dwells in them richly. Like, it's what comes out. I'll be honest, I think I'm more a collection of like office quotes than scripture passages. Movies that I've seen, and I don't know that that's really what I want. Like, when I stop and I pause and I really think about it, I go, yeah, is that really what's the best thing coming out of me? No. And so there is something, again, of when that's in us, when that's what we've fixed our minds on and our hearts on, that's what comes out. And so big thought number four, we need to remind each other of the things that matter, like that those things ought to come be what comes out of us. Those are the things that ought to come. And man, again, when we do that, it's going to encourage us. It's going to move us in right directions. It's going to be healthy. So again, just kind of, big thought one, we need to set our minds on things that matter, on Christ. Let's set our minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. Our lives are hidden in Christ. Big thought two, growth requires a lot of ongoing heart work. It is that putting off. It is that putting on. It is that being deliberate as the body of Christ and moving in those things. And so is the gospel, are we doing that? And then is the gospel is what gives us the power to do that? And so let's be aware that the hard work, there is hard work that our hearts that we need to do. I think one of the things, this is my wife's thing, my wife is brilliant. I learn so much from her all the time. She really is. I really enjoy, she reads a whole lot more than I do. Confession time. I usually, hey, what are you learning? And then I quote it like I read it, and then people think I'm a reader, and I'm not. Louise's a reader. But one of the things she says often is, man, I really think it's hard because as the church, we do a lot of, so do this, so do this, so do this, so do this. And I think that one of the things we just really need to be careful of is there's a lot of heart work that is mistaken for doing. I mean, it is doing the heart work. It is asking, okay, what was my motivation to do that? So then why did I do that? What am I chasing? And keep going back until we finally go, oh, here's this big old idol that's growing up in the middle of my heart. Maybe I ought to deal with that. Let's put that up against the gospel. Let's cage match that with Jesus, and then let's see what action comes out of that. And so even in this, it's the invitation as God's people, holy and dearly loved, Let's do the heart work. Let's be about the things that he has called us to be. Let's let the gospel live in the place that the gospel is supposed to live. And let's kill the things that ought to be killed and put away the things that ought to be put away. But let's, first and foremost, let's put on Jesus and let us live in that. So let me pray. God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you have given us opportunity to know you and to walk with you. And we thank you that you, God, that you are everything that we need. God, that all these other things are secondary. They fall short. They are not what we want. And yet, God, we chase them so hard. God, we're thankful that you have called us your own, that our lives are wrapped in you, and that you have freed us from what we could not bear on our own. God, we cannot will our way to well. We need you. Oh, Lord, we need you. And so, God, move with us. As we do those things, praise to your son's name.